Now we're thankful to see all with us tonight. Again, we appreciate all who are here and all who have been here, and we trust the Lord will grant some blessing upon His word. I'm very sorry the way things turned out. I looked forward to the meetings and I'd hoped they'd be much better than this. I feel that the assembly here deserved a lot better, so I apologize. I couldn't do anything else. I was just stranded. I struggled and you suffered. And well, the struggle's nearly over and the suffering's nearly over for you, and I'll go now and afflict somebody else as soon as I can get away. So I trust the Lord will have mercy upon us for this final night of the present little effort, and you have all my apologies for the way it has gone. Now I want to read from the second book of Samuel and chapter 17. Second Samuel and chapter 17. Verse 22. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light, and elect not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. So Absalom's heart and his heels. Verse 27. It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel of Lo-Debar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Now chapter 19 of the same book, chapter 19. And Barzillai, verse 31 of chapter 19. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? And I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Kimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Kimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Now, over to the first book of Kings, just for a verse. The first book of Kings, chapter 2. These are David's final instructions to Solomon on his deathbed. Verse 7. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. Maybe I should get you to read a verse in Jeremiah, chapter 41. An obscure little piece forgotten. Chapter 41 of Jeremiah. Verse 17. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Kimham, in the inn of Kimham, in the lodging place of Kimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt. Now that's all I'll read. I might refer to another passage or two, but that will do for our reading. And most that have it here have a fair idea of the approach that we have tried to take in the few meetings. We have been considering some of the lesser people in the life of this very illustrious man, King David. And some of the people who, even though they were lesser, they made a great contribution to David and to the kingdom and to the ongoing work of the Lord. And we've been encouraging ourselves, trying to appreciate that we, like them, are smaller people. None of us exceedingly great, and yet it's good to know that small people and lesser people and little people can still play a large part in the work of God and in the service of Christ. In fact, it's interesting to go through the Bible, and it's amazing how many people, and they only appear on the page of Scripture, just I say in a paragraph, and they do something big. It almost seems as if they have lived their whole life up until then for that particular thing. And then when it's over, they disappear. And maybe a job that took 15 minutes. And that's all the Bible tells you about them. They live for years for that 15 minutes. And after that 15 minutes is over, the climax has been reached. And the rest of their time isn't wasted, but they live in the good of that special thing which providence and opportunity has brought their way. I was rumbling around in my mind today were a couple of secular quotations, and they confirm what we're just talking about. I think it was Shakespeare, and in one of his plays he had Brutus saying, the Julius Caesar play, Brutus said, "There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken a flood, leads to good fortune. But omit it, the rest of life is lived in the shallows." Now, the big thing is this, to know when the tide is in. Because if you catch the tide when it's at your feet, you can crest the wave and reach the goal. Otherwise, if you miss that tide, it may never be as close again, and you might spend the rest of your days, like many of us, just paddling in the shallower waters of insignificance. I was thinking about another quotation, very well known, a little bit closer to us, made in the times of the war by Churchill, and speaking about the crisis and the shadow, the cloud of Nazism that was towering over Britain, and the need of rising to the occasion, and the need of grasping the opportunity. And Churchill, in that famous speech, he said something like this. He said, "Let us brace ourselves to our duties, and let us burn ourselves in such a way that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth should last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour." You can go through the Bible, and there are people here and there, and they just appear once. They do what God wanted them to do. It seems as though the preceding years they were just standing in the sidelines. They quickly step onto the stage, play their part, and just as quickly disappear. For example, you think of that lady, Mary of Bethany. There was a day when she had an opportunity to anoint the Lord Jesus. She grasped it. Others criticized her. The Lord defended her. She had done what she could. And you know when other good friends of hers who were good with ladies, when they came to do the job, a week later they were too late. But she was right on the time. Another man that we would think about in that regard is the man Joseph of Arimathea. We don't know much about him. He just appears suddenly when the Lord needs to be buried. The men that we would have thought would have been taking the Lord's funeral, for some reason or another, they have melted away. Peter, John, and Matthew, and Philip. They would have had some of them speaking and some of them praying, and there would be quite a debate about that. But they're all gone. And who's going to do it? There's a man does an afternoon. I would say it took about an hour and a half at the most. What age he was, I couldn't tell you. But the preceding decades of his life were all leading up to that event. And I don't know how long he lived afterwards, but the rest of his days he looked back to it. And it almost seems as if he lived for that one thing, that great act of burying the Lord Jesus. So let us appreciate that even in the smallness of our lives, there might be years that are humdrum. But always keep yourself ready, because if opportunity does come, if the tide happens to come in, it's good to have the eyes to see it, the heart to value it, and the hands to seize it for the glory of God. Now, a man that very much fits into that category is the man that we've read about tonight. This beautiful character, Barzillai. I've been looking forward to saying a little bit about him, and it's just a pity my voice wasn't better equipped to do it tonight, but at least we'll say some things about this beautiful character, Barzillai. He just comes into the life of David at a particular time of need. He does his peace